You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 181. And my guest today, having her dream interpreted, is Emily from San Francisco in the US. And you won't hear Emily, you won't hear Emily's voice. If you've listened to the last two episodes featured, as many of our dream shows do, live guests. And what I mean by a live guest is that when you listen, you hear my voice and you hear the voice of the dreamer. And we do that by phoning or Skyping the dreamer, recording the conversation and then playing it back to you. Our other format, which we're getting into quite a bit now, is the email guest format, and that's what we've got today. And thank you still to all of those of you who are emailing and saying that you really like this format. We're listening, we're keeping it up. So the way that the email guest format works is that you go to the website. Now the website is janetheresa.com, and you'll find there under podcasts, you'll find a section where you can volunteer to be a guest on the show, and you can fill in a form. And if you choose to be a guest by email, you fill in the details of your form and it comes to me, and we take it from there, as you will hear when you listen. But first of all, a little bit more about the website, janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. That's where you go to listen to all of the other 180 episodes of The Dream Show, although you can always listen to the last 10 on iTunes or on your podcast app. But if you want to listen to all of them, they will always be there into perpetuity at janetheresa.com. That's also where you go, of course, if you want to buy any of my paperback books or ebooks. It's where you go if you want to read any of my, by now, hundreds of articles and blogs on dreams and dreaming and the art of dream interpretation and dream analysis. It's also where you go if you want to book a consultation with me, either a consultation by phone or a consultation by email, and also all sorts of other programs and interesting things there at janetheresa.com. Now, Emily's dream, I love Emily's dream because it starts out quite pedestrian. As you know, many of our dreams do. It's like you listen to the beginning of the dream and it could be, this could be waking life. And all of a sudden it takes off and is quite surreal. So I particularly love that element of it, as you'll discover. So the process that I'm going to take you through today is this. First, I'm going to read the dream that Emily sent me. Now, once I receive the dream, and whether I'm doing this for the dream show or whether I'm doing this on a private consultation where you email me a dream for interpretation, once I've read the dream and I've got a feeling for the interpretation, I then email you questions about your dream. And this is to further clarify the dream for me, but it's also a really important part of the process for the dreamer, as you'll hear when Emily goes through her questions. So it's that being made to answer questions about your dreams helps you to explore your dream more deeply and to begin to come up with associations and parallels to waking life, as well as giving me, the analyst, more information and texture about the dream to work with. So after I've read out the dream, you'll hear all about the questions that I sent to Emily, and you'll hear all Emily's responses. And then I'll work that together into another reading of the dream, this time bringing in some, not all, but some of her answers. So it's a rereading of the dream, giving it more texture and depth. After that, I'll read you the interpretation that I sent Emily. So Emily's experience so far is to send in the dream, to receive my questions, to respond to my questions with her answers, and then the next thing that happens is that she receives my interpretation. So then she responds. So I'll also include in the show Emily's response to my dream interpretation. And then I've also done a dream alchemy practice for her, and you'll hear her response to that as well. So that's what we're going to go through today. But I'm hoping to do it in the way that I usually do, by doing it in a way that helps you, the listener, to gain more insight into how to interpret your own dreams or how to help other people interpret theirs. So we're coming at it from that angle. Plus, as always, of course, the wonderful opportunity that our volunteers so courageously give us, that wonderful opportunity to learn something about ourselves and life in general by listening to someone else's life experiences through their dreams. So here's Emily's dream. I am with some people who I don't know at someone's house, and we're looking at a recipe book to determine what to cook for dinner. The person whose house we are at has some leftover beef. We, or myself, decide to make beef stroganoff. I try to determine how much meat we need per person. I'm anxious. I think we need way more meat than the other people think we do. Another woman and I will shop for meat. I follow her as she rushes out the door and she says we have to catch the train. The place to catch the train is nearby. Then we're in the store and we get separated. When we meet up again, I see that she's bought a small package of meat. Again, I think, the amount of meat is too small and I'm anxious. The next part of the dream is difficult to explain. The dream has shifted to a different location, but I can't say where, perhaps back in the house where the dream started. There are three women. Each one has yellow flower petals in place of their faces or heads. Their bodies are normal, but their heads are made up of different shades of yellow petals. I keep mixing up their names and I'm embarrassed. I think I should know better and remember their names. Then I overhear one of them say to another, "I don't like the things Emily," referring to me as the dreamer, "says." I'm really confused and shamed when I hear this. I don't know what situation she has in mind or what exactly I said that she doesn't like. I am holding an orange petal and I take a few bites out of it. The others are eating yellow petals. Then there's a shift and the woman who bought the meat tells me we have to run and catch the train. I'm barefoot and I start running really hard. I am running alone. I wonder how long I can keep running this fast and this hard. I'm following a black road that has some construction cones on it to redirect me around a road construction area. A police officer points ahead to a bridge, which he indicates I am to cross. The bridge is like a railroad and/or a suspension bridge. I'm not happy about having to cross that bridge. I don't understand why I need to cross it. I hear someone behind and I look back and see a man running. He's wearing running clothes. I think I need to keep running fast to keep ahead of him. But I'm not an experienced runner. I know he'll catch up and pass me. I feel under pressure. So that's the dream. Now there's two other spaces on the form when you submit a dream, and one is where I ask you to describe a little bit more about the people in the dream. But Emily puts all of the people in the dream were unknown to me. And then the other section on the form that you send in, either if you're being a guest on the dream show or if you're having a consultation by email, is a box called Other, which just allows you to say anything else that you feel is important or you want to say. And Emily has given some context of her situation, what was going on for her at the time of her dream. So I knew this going in, and this is what she said. I have been in a difficult relationship with a co-volunteer. I am president of the organization. She is extremely difficult to work with, and yes, I can identify my own characteristics of myself and her behavior, but not as extreme. And I have tried to be positive and supportive and encouraging. But we just keep pushing each other's buttons. She wants to become an officer, and this is not going to work for me nor for the organization. This has taken up too much emotional time for me. My board is not acting as quickly as I like, and honestly, I'm not even sure how one goes about dealing with such a difficult, negative person or telling someone they are not qualified to be on the board. I did read that when someone bullies and hooks into you, that there is a part of you that does believe what the bully says. Thus the shame I feel and the fact that I feel unsupported by most of my board and committees is just dragging this situation out. The dream I'm emailing you on, I had on April the 3rd. Last night, after expressing again that we need to deal with this situation to my VP, I dreamt a woman vomited in a gym, first in a bucket, then all over the floor. My gut tells me my psyche is really trying to deal with this situation. So that's the dream. Now, if we, before we go into the questions that I sent her, if we just have a kind of really vague overall quick grab at the dream, so this is not the deep interpretation, but just a quick feeling, you may have got as you were listening to it, that feeling at the beginning of the dream was, oh, there's some leftover beef and we've got to make big beef stroganoff, but is there enough? And some people saying, yeah, yeah, there's enough. And she thinking, no, no, there's definitely not enough here. So the whole opening feeling is this feeling of, forget about the meat. The whole opening feeling is this feeling of, is there enough? Is there enough? Now, when we interpret a dream, it's really one of the keys is to look at everything and everyone in a dream as representing something about the dreamer. So even looking at the whole kind of dynamics or drama of the dream, you can apply to the dreamer. So the whole opening of this dream for Emily is there enough? I'm not sure if there's enough. Which you'll see as we go more deeply into it does translate to an interpretation to this feeling for Emily of, am I enough? Am I doing enough? Should I be doing more? Could I be more? Is there enough? And you combine that with this concept of the leftover beef. It's almost like something's left over that I've got to address. And, you know, will there ever be enough to make up for what's been left over? Now, you probably also noticed, as I did when I first read this, and because dreams do love cliches and plays on words, this note of the leftover beef. And certainly in the English language across most of our continents, and I don't know about those of you listening who have a different first language, but in English, we have the cliche of a beef. A beef is an argument that you have with someone. So I've had a beef with someone as I've had an argument with them. And we know from what Emily said at the end of the dream that she's been having this ongoing beef, if you like, with a member of her committee. So the feeling that a dream starts with the concept of some leftover beef and what to make of it may also reflect that in her dream she's processing the leftover argument. What do I do with this situation? What do I do with this argument? What do I do with this conflict? What do I do with this beef? Am I enough to deal with this situation? But also on a deeper level, am I enough within myself? So there's that kind of beginning. And a lot of the dream explores that. Is it enough? Am I enough? What can I do? And as you're listening to this, you may be picturing towards the end of the dream where Emily's running everywhere, running and running really hard, trying to get ahead, being diverted, but still running hard. And that can be the situation when we don't feel that we're enough or we don't feel that we're doing enough for a situation, even if we are doing way more than enough. It's that feeling, I've got to do more, I've got to do more, I've got to try harder, I've got to rush. I've got to try really extra hard. I've got to go the long way round. So you can see picking up that kind of general theme is giving some clues into the interpretation. But of course, there's this beautiful bit in the middle, this lovely, intriguing, surreal bit where she meets the three women who, instead of having faces or heads, have yellow flower petals. Now, what is that about a dream where the dream otherwise seems quite normal and almost everyday and almost pedestrian, and yet something stands out as like, wow, that's totally surreal. That is really strange happening there. Now, there are lots of reasons for this to happen in a dream. And of course, some dreams can be totally surreal from beginning to end. But in a dream like this, where it really stands out, that's a surreal part. What's often going on there is that that part is deeply emotional. And what's really emotional for the dreamer to process can appear in a more surreal or bizarre format. Partly because sometimes the way that our dreams deal with emotions is to try and paint a picture of them. So to some extent, and you'll hear as we go deeply into the dream, Emily's dream is trying to cope with an emotional situation by saying it's kind of like dealing with flowers. It's kind of like petals. It's kind of like associated with something quite deeply emotional that reminds you of petals and flowers. So that's why it's really important when you've got a dream and something stands out as being really bizarre or surreal to really make quite an effort at working out what that is and what it relates to. And also because, of course, it's our emotional situations and often our deeply unconscious emotional situations that relate to way back in past and in childhood, as indeed you'll hear it does turn out for Emily, that these are the things that we do really need to address and understand. So they really draw our attention. And the one and only last thing I'm going to say at this stage before we go deeper into this is I'd love you know, some of you may also have noticed that at the end of the dream, Emily's running and running because she's got to get ahead. I've got to get ahead. I've got to get ahead. And what the three women in the dream lack is a head. Instead of a head, they have petals. So, you know, as a dream analyst going in, you notice things like that. And these are the kind of tips I'm giving to you. Notice those kind of things. You think, oh, hang on a minute. There's a connect. I don't know what the connection is, but there's a connection there somewhere. There's a reference in the dream to not having heads or having a different kind of heads. And there's a reference in the dream to getting a head. Not actually, I'm going shopping for a head. You know, she's running to get a head. But because dreams do plays on words, that stands out. So we're going to be looking at that too. So those were some of the things that I got on my first reading of the dream. Of course, I got a lot more than that. That's just what I'm mentioning to you now. So my next stage was then to send Emily her questions. And so I'm going to read out her questions and some of her replies. And in doing that, take you a little bit deeper. The first question I asked Emily was, can you describe the house you were at? If you can, what would be its personality and what kind of people would live there? And she put, I didn't record much about this house because the action took place in just one room, probably the kitchen. And even then, I was never focused on the space around me, only focused on the recipe book. So it was more perhaps like a simple stage setting with nondescript and undecorated wall space. Now, the reason I've read that out to you is it will become more apparent when you listen to her answer to question two. I asked, were there lots of choices in the recipe book? And Emily said, I think we only flipped through the recipe book and landed on the beef stroganoff recipe right away. It was a large, hard-bound book, and I did not see any other recipes, as again, I was only focused on the one we needed. As you can probably guess, I'm not a sensate person. I do not pay attention to what is physically around me. I'm more inner-oriented. So you'll often see that in a dream. You'll often see the person's kind of leaning towards how they interact in life in the dream. And that sense of Emily not really picking up detail about the house or detail about the rest of the book, as she mentions herself, and I think it's quite an insight to her when she answers the question, is that she doesn't notice a lot of things, that when she's focused, she's really, really focused, and maybe sometimes doesn't notice that there are other opportunities or other things to take on board. And she particularly says she's not a sensate person, which for some of you might already be ringing bells with this idea of the head, not a head, getting a head. Because we tend to sense, even though our brains actually do the sensing, we think of the sensing as coming from our heart or our body. Question number three, do you like beef? Yes, but I eat very little of it. Maybe a hamburger once a year and steak once in a while. When do you normally cook beef and for what purpose? I rarely cook beef. My husband will grill a steak perhaps once a month. Do you use the phrase have a beef about something or is it familiar to you? Emily says, yes, that was the first idiom that came to me. Perhaps that's why I so easily attributed the dream to the situation I described to you. I find it ironic that my dream ego felt twice in the dream that there wasn't enough beef. I asked, do you often make beef stroganoff? Do you like it? What do you associate with this dish? Emily says, I have never made beef stroganoff in my life. I don't even know what the ingredients are. However, I just looked it up on Wiki and one of the ingredients is sour cream. Perhaps stroganoff could be strong and off, she says, or strong of. Yes, I know, a strong beef. So much so it had affected my ability to get a good night's sleep some nights. I was strongly put off by this situation. I don't recall ever eating it, and after looking at the photos of the dish, I don't have any desire to try it. So I love that Emily, who, as you can tell from her responses, clearly does understand a lot about dream interpretation and dream analysis, has particularly gone off on the wordplay and already enjoyed working out what beef stroganoff could mean for her. She took the cue of the leftover beef as being maybe a leftover argument, and she's playing around with beef stroganoff, and she's got strong, and am I strong enough? So there's that. Now, I saw in stroganoff strong enough. It doesn't have to sound exactly the way that we say it. It's kind of like if you imagine someone talking underwater or in a helium balloon, the dream distorts the sound, but if it sounds similar to it, it can be a dream play. So while Emily's takes on Be Strong Enough are also on point, I saw the Strong Enough as strong enough, particularly because I already know, as I've suggested to you, that the dream is about am I enough? So I'm already seeing, am I strong enough? Am I strong enough? And for me, I began to think about beef and think, well, she said that they only have beef once a month. She doesn't cook it herself. And although she hasn't said it so far, this makes me think that she's probably like many of us women who prefer not to eat much red meat, but do feel we need it for iron. And of course, iron is for strength. So although Emily hasn't mentioned it, I'm still seeing beef strong enough as am I strong enough? Do I have the iron? Do I have the strength? The next question I asked, and some of these questions seem to be odd given Emily's previous replies, but remember I bunched up all these questions and sent them in one go, not knowing what she was going to answer. So, here we go. My next question was, how important is meat to you in your diet? And she said, I look at meat as a source of iron. A theme of strong is beginning to emerge. Whenever I donate blood, I usually eat red meat the night before to build up my iron levels as they tend to be low. So Emily was, in fact, onto it already there, which is good. I asked, although you don't know the woman in the dream in waking life, how would you describe her personality or character in the dream? Because it's important to look at that. You know, you meet a character in a dream, and even though it's a dream character, you do get some feeling for them. And that feeling for them tells us something about you and why you've created this dream character in the dream. But what we want to know is, what does this dream character represent about you and your feelings at this time in your life? So Emily says, I would say this woman knows what she wants. She's a sort of leader, a take charge person. And we kind of get that a little bit about Emily at the end of the dream, don't we? I'm running as fast as I can. I'm following all the details. I'm gonna make this happen. I'm gonna get enough meat. So we can already see a bit of Emily there, a kind of leader, a take charge person. I know everybody else says there's not enough meat to make this beef strong enough, but I know we need more. So I'm going out with this other woman to get it. So this other woman kind of represents that part of Emily, the leader, the take charge person. I asked, do you often catch a train? What's your association to catching trains? I never catch trains. However, as a substitute teacher, perhaps this alludes to being trained or something, maybe in conflict resolution. Can you describe the store? It was definitely a grocery store, like a Safeway where I shop all the time. How did you feel when you got separated from the woman in the store? I felt a bit lost, not knowing what to do with myself, a bit frustrated. So notice that there she's giving quite a bit more information than she did in the dream. And what Emily's just noticed that for the moment, that key word, how did you feel when you get separated, when you got separated? And she's saying lost, not knowing what to do with myself, because that comes up later. Do you know what kind of meat she bought? Yes, she bought beef, but again, not enough for all the people we needed to feed. I don't know how many people we were going to feed. I had that feeling of there not being enough for the second time. Now, this time it brings up for Emily, and she says, sometimes that's my own self-talk I can fall into. Feelings of not being enough, or of not doing enough, or of not having enough, not in the material sense, rather in enough knowledge or wisdom to be a loving person. What does the colour yellow mean to you? I asked, thinking about the petals. Yellow makes me smile. I think of energy, the sun, light, and wisdom. So just notice there that Emily said wisdom, and in her answer to the previous question, she talked about that self-talk about not having enough, and she'd said, not in the material sense, rather in enough knowledge or wisdom to be a loving person. So in the dream, she saw the yellow and the women had yellow petals as representing energy, sun, light, wisdom. That's what yellow makes her think of. So we already know that these women had some kind of wisdom about them because Emily's unconscious mind came up with yellow for their colour. And it's this, the wisdom, that Emily sometimes berates herself for feeling that she doesn't have enough wisdom. And as she says, enough wisdom to be a loving person. So it's very possible, because these questions are bringing up the stuff for Emily already, that that is what her dream is about, the not being enough. Maybe the not being enough to be wise enough to be a loving person. Now, Emily may be extremely wise and extremely loving, and she may in fact give far more than enough. The dream is not saying what is, the dream is saying what Emily feels about herself, how she judges herself. All our dreams do that. They tell us about our beliefs about ourselves, conscious and unconscious. And then it's for us to interpret the dream and look at that mindset and say, how are these judgments or feelings or beliefs or memories that I've got of myself, how are these serving me in my life now? Are they serving me well? Are they getting in my way? I asked, because it seemed an obvious question to ask, does anyone you know call people petal? And she said, not really, but when she does hear it, she cringes. I said, what do yellow flowers or petals mean to you? Now, Emily's answer here is quite interesting. She says, well, in regards to the petals, a sense of loss. And remember, she said that in the store, that when she got separated from the woman, she felt a sense of loss. So, I'll continue with her answer. In regards to the petals, a sense of loss. Our yard is now full of flowers. We've had lots of rain this year in drought-ridden California, and I cut them and bring them into the house. So when they're dying, their petals lie on the counter. When I see the petals on the counter, I know the flower is in the dying process. Yellow flowers themselves, I am more drawn to violets and purples. My friend gave me a yellow rose bush when my mother died 4 years ago. Those are the only yellow flowers in the yard. Yet the rose bush has prospered and looks beautiful. So you can see from Emily's deeper thinking there that there's a lot of emotional stuff going on around the colour yellow. There's a sense of loss, which she's already mentioned in the dream when she got separated from the woman in the shop. And there's also the sense of she doesn't actually usually get yellow, but somebody gave her yellow and it relates to her mother dying. So there's a connection with her mum, which, remember that, that becomes very important as we look at the dream. There's a connection to her mum, and yet look at the beauty there. Although she obviously lost her mum, she says the rose bush has prospered and looks beautiful. So there may be an aspect where the yellow petals in the dream, while somehow representing loss, also somehow represent what can come from loss, you know, what can prosper and look beautiful. I asked, what does the colour orange mean to you? Emily says, intellectually, I know that orange is a combination of red and yellow. So to me, it's both passive and non-passive. Although yellow is a masculine colour, in a way, it's also a passive colour. In that if one were to look at red in a photograph, it would grab your attention, but only for a little while. If there's yellow in a photograph, your eye will linger much longer on that photograph than it would if there were a lot of red in the photograph. So orange is a blend of passiveness and assertiveness. And that observation becomes key as we look at the dream as well. I ask, because I really wanted to know, and it might have been important, did you like the taste of the orange petal? And she said, I can't say that it had a taste, only that it felt like a petal would, were I to eat on soft, a bit fibrous. Actually, I don't think I enjoyed it very much. I don't know why I ate it. I said, the second time you go for the train, do you know where you're going and why? She said, we're going back to the house at the beginning of the dream, perhaps to cook the dinner. Do you like to go barefoot sometimes? I asked, because remember, she was running barefoot at the end of the dream. I rarely go barefoot due to foot problems. Of course, I like to go barefoot at the beach and in grass, etc. It's not something I do on a regular basis. Someone once told me that we are losing our connection to Mother Earth because we no longer go barefoot. By going barefoot, we are in contact with Earth's energy. It could be some sort of magnetic energy. I don't know the scientific theory behind this. So these are all important. It's what you're getting when you ask yourself or you ask someone you know a question about their dream, is you're getting all your associations to it. So we all have different associations to going barefoot. But what comes up straight away for Emily is this remembering of someone saying to her about the connection with Mother Earth. And again, that becomes important. And I've actually just noticed there, which I didn't address in the interpretation, there's the word mother. And we've just been talking about her losing her mum and the yellow petals as well. But really, it's about, Mother Earth and nature and feeling connected. Only two more questions. I asked, any idea where the bridge led to? No, I don't have any idea where the bridge goes to. It's off to my right. The road is black. My sense is the bridge is the way I need to go to get to the train station in order to get back to the house. And lastly, any feeling for the male runner's personality or character? Anything you noticed about him? She says he's in runner's clothes while I may not be. He's athletic and a fast runner, in his prime, I think. I don't know why I'm concerned that he'll bypass me. So now what I'm going to do is reread the dream, but the expanded version. Now, I'm not going to put all of those answers in, but I'm going to put some of them in. So I'm rereading the original dream, but adding the texture and the depth and some of the associations that Emily has given us in answering the questions. And as you listen and you put together what you're hearing, what I've been talking to you about as we've been reading the answers and trying to shed more and more light on the interpretation, you'll probably build a bigger picture in your own mind about what the dream is about. And when I finish that, I'll read the interpretation that I sent Emily and then the response that she got when she read it. So this is the expanded dream, including her answers or some of the answers. I am with some people at someone's house and we are looking at a recipe book to determine what to cook for dinner. The person whose house we are at has some leftover beef. We, or myself, decide to make beef stroganoff. There may have been other recipes, but I was only focused on the one we needed. I have never made beef stroganoff in my life. I try to determine how much meat or strength we need per person. I'm anxious. I think we need way more meat, more strength than other people think we do. Another woman, a leader, a take-charge person, and I will shop for the meat. I follow her as she rushes out the door and she says we have to catch the train. The place to catch it is nearby. Then we are in a store. We get separated. I feel a bit lost, not knowing what to do with myself, a bit frustrated. When we meet up again, I see that she's bought a small package of meat. Again, I think the amount of meat is too small, and I'm anxious. The next part is difficult to explain. The dream has shifted to a different location, but I can't say where, perhaps back in the house where the dream started. There are three women. Each one has yellow, energy like the sun, light, wisdom, flower petals, a sense of loss yet prosperity after loss, in place of their faces and or heads. Their bodies are normal, but their heads are made up of different shades of yellow petals. I keep mixing up their names and I'm embarrassed. I think I should know better and remember their names. Then I overhear one of them say to another, I don't like the things Emily, referring to me as Dreamer, says. I am really confused and shamed when I hear this. I don't know what situation she had in mind or what exactly I said that she doesn't like. I am holding an orange petal, a blend of passiveness and assertiveness, and I take a few bites out of it. I don't think I enjoyed it very much. The others are eating yellow petals. Then the woman, a leader, a take-charge person who bought the meat, tells me we have to run and catch the train. I am barefoot, in contact with Earth's energy, and I start running really hard. I am running alone. I wonder how long I can keep running this fast and hard. I'm following a black road that has some construction cones on it to redirect me around a road construction area. A police officer points ahead to a bridge, which he indicates I am to cross. The bridge is like a railroad and/or suspension bridge. I am not happy about having to cross that bridge. I don't understand why I need to cross it. I hear someone behind and I look back and see a man running. He's wearing running clothes. I think I need to keep running fast to keep ahead of him, but I am not an experienced runner. I know he'll catch up and pass me. I'm under pressure. Now, just momentarily before I read the interpretation, you may have noticed that Emily has put a lot of feeling words and emotions into her dream. And that is great. You know, when you write down a dream, it can be really helpful if you try to even go back, not adding the emotions that you feel in waking life, looking back on the dream, but the emotions you actually felt in the dream. And you'll notice when I read out this interpretation, at one point, what I have done is gone through the dream and isolated all the emotions and ran them together. So I'm just drawing your attention when I get to that bit. That is a tip. If you've got a dream where you've noticed a lot of different emotions, that is something you can do to isolate the emotions, put them in a flow chart, and question yourself in the way that I do when I read out this interpretation. So what Emily has experienced so far is she sent me the dream, I sent her the questions, she has answered the questions, and then the next thing that happens is she receives my interpretation, which is this. The theme of the dream is the feeling of not being enough and being under pressure to run and rush and keep ahead in an effort to overcome this. Beneath the feeling of not being enough is a feeling of confusion, embarrassment, and shame. The dream is unresolved because you're still running at the end, feeling under pressure due to feelings of inexperience. You see the way ahead, the bridge, but you're not happy about it. The dream sheds insight into your feelings, beliefs, and the dynamics behind them. In the dream, the focus is on there not being enough beef. But dreams yield their richest rewards if you look at everything and everyone in the dream as reflecting something about you, the dreamer. Your feelings of there not being enough of something, beef, reflect feelings of there not being enough of something within you, represented by the beef, and I'll pick up this thread later. I've linked the emotions and feelings you mentioned in your dream write-up and in your answers to my questions in the sequence they come out in your dream. And here they are. Anxious about not being enough, goes to rushed, goes to anxious, goes to lost, goes to frustrated, goes to embarrassed, goes to confused, goes to shame, goes to more running and rushing, goes to not happy, goes to under pressure. So I'll just reread those without saying goes to. Anxious about not being enough, rushed, anxious, lost, frustrated, embarrassed, confused, shame, running and rushing again, not happy, under pressure. You may be familiar with this emotional pattern or cycle, recognizing it from one or more situations in your life over time, and especially in the 1 to 2 days before your dream. Behind the anxiety about not being enough and the rush and pressure to be enough are feelings, conscious or unconscious, of confusion, embarrassment, and shame. Feelings of being inexperienced are mentioned at the end of the dream, where you felt you were not an experienced runner. You mentioned that this dream came up at a time when you were experiencing extreme difficulties with a co-worker and that the situation was dragging itself out. Was there a leftover beef, conflict, bad feelings just before this dream? What was left over, or were you feeling left over in some way? There must have been many recipes in the book, but you were focused on one, beef stroganoff. Might this be a play on strong enough? You see beef as a source of iron, suggesting strength. You question whether you have enough strength to deal with this, and underlying this is a sense of, am I strong enough? Suggesting an unconscious belief that you're not, and that you need to drive yourself hard to be strong enough to compensate for shame around inexperience. In life, this most likely results in you being a strong leader, focused on gaining and achieving experience and success, driven by fear of not being enough. There are positives in being a strong, focused, experienced leader, but the downsides for you, suggested by your dream, are anxiety and potential burnout from the long, hard road you're running, and all the pressure you're putting yourself under. There's a way to have the positives without the negatives, as we'll explore. Just to clarify, the woman who goes on the shopping mission with you is an aspect of yourself that is rushing and leading. She says you need to catch the train. She appears after the petal segment of the dream in the same guise, saying you have to run and catch the train. Then you, the dream ego, take over the role, running fast and hard, running alone, under pressure. When you get separated from her in the store, you feel lost and frustrated. Without exercising your leadership and rushing, you generally feel lost and frustrated. Another way to say this is that you lead and rush and perform and succeed to overcome feelings of being lost and frustrated, feelings associated with not being enough. In the dream, she buys a small package of meat, so you see that all this rushing, focused leader aspect of you is still, by your own judgment, not enough. We might say that you feel the package is not enough. The petal segment of the dream gives deeper insight. In the dream, it's a shift in location that is difficult to pinpoint, and you feel it is in the back of the house. We are visiting the back of your mind, a less conscious aspect, perhaps unconscious. The heads of the women are missing, replaced by yellow petals. At the end of your dream, you describe yourself as running fast to keep ahead. You use your head a lot. You focus on thinking. In this part of the dream, you meet a softer, more vulnerable aspect of yourself in the petal women. This part of yourself doesn't like the things you say, disapproves of you. When you meet this softer side of yourself, you feel embarrassed, confused, shame. We need to delve down and discover what, in your past, led to the vulnerable, softer side of yourself, perhaps the side that was more heart than head, to feel shame. A sense of shame that resulted in you feeling you'd never be enough, driving you to be a strong, successful leader with an underlying agenda of not being enough. The three women eat petals, and I wonder if this is indeed enough for them. There's no beef in sight, no question of the petal meal being inadequate. Are they even vegetarian, getting their strength or iron from a different source? You associate yellow with sun, light, wisdom, and you mention that you can fall into negative self-talk around feelings of not being enough in a knowledge wisdom sense, enough to be a loving person. These three women represent the vulnerable, heart-orientated, softer side of yourself. They have light and wisdom. They know that they are enough. They are strong in their alternative way of being. You also associate yellow petals with loss and with the loss of your mother. Although you see in waking life that the yellow rose bush given to you when your mother died 4 years ago has prospered. So here's the flip side of loss in a symbolic sense. From loss comes growth, and ultimately prosperity. You are driven to avoid a sense of loss. What if you turned this around and faced the loss, delved deep into it, and found prosperity? More than enough wisdom about heart-centered vulnerability and wisdom. So we're not necessarily talking about loss of your mother, but a loss in your past, perhaps a loss of face, given the petal women didn't have faces, a loss of face that led you to feel embarrassed, confused, shamed, and most probably over feelings of inexperience. It may also have been around a feeling of being left over or being left. How far back in your life can you remember being driven? When did it begin? Where was the feeling of loss of face or embarrassment preceding this? Did it involve being left or left over in some way? After the petal segment in the dream, the sense of your pain, the hard running, becomes more evident. Your bare foot suggesting more grounded, more in contact with your body and the earth, less in your head, feeling your pain. There is construction going on, and this may be good, new ways you are building, or not so good, complicated mental constructions and diversions you are creating to make your journey even harder in an attempt to be enough. There's a railroad. Have you felt you've been railroaded? There's a suspension bridge. Have you thought about a suspension of some kind, or are you constantly in a state of suspension or anxiety? You question whether you want to continue on this road or not, whether to continue on the road of bringing home more beef that might but probably won't ever be enough according to you. There's also a possibility here of having been asked to cross a bridge, to connect with someone, to meet halfway, or to find that you finally met that bridge that you promised yourself you'd cross when it came to it. I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. These are the inner conflicts remaining unresolved at the end of the dream, but the insights the analysis has offered may now help you to see which way to go forward. There is strength in heart-centered vulnerability, and strength in facing loss, facing the past, and discovering new prosperity from that, new ways of being in which you feel and are more than enough. Now, as well as the interpretation, I did send Emily a dream alchemy, but I'll leave that to the end because it kind of works better for a listener. So here's Emily's response. Hi, Jane Teresa. Thank you so much for the very thorough dream interpretation. I had some surprises, good ones, when I read it, as you took the dream much deeper than I could have. There were parts of your interpretation that were totally unexpected, yet did touch my inner core. To be self-observant and non-judgmental about oneself must be a significant spiritual practice. Thank you for leading me back to that space. I've taken the opportunity to read your interpretation several times and to allow the dream and your interpretation of it to live through me these last several days. I appreciate that emailing a dream and your email interpretation gives me this extra time to re-experience my dream and to coalesce my thoughts, reactions, and responses to it. I find this an excellent way to work with a dream. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, Jane Teresa. I love your insights and experience in working with the dream world. I absolutely agree that this is the theme of the dream, of not having enough or of not being enough. I used to feel so much like this in my past, and much more rarely now, but these feelings were triggered by this situation. I felt I didn't have the knowledge or experience to sort through or resolve this interpersonal conflict. I suppose my shame and embarrassment were not only in myself, but also in my not feeling confident in handling this particular situation. I am inexperienced at being the president of my organization, yet having a good business background and getting positive feedback from many people about the job I am doing is still being undermined by one person who is critical of me. Yes, this situation was alive and active the day or two before the dream. I wrote in my diary that this situation was causing me a lot of pain, despite the fact I didn't want to feel that way. In a way, I was being bullied, but I didn't want to bully back. Perhaps that's the lack of beef in me. I love that play, strong enough, on the word strong enough. I should have immediately told this person they crossed a line with me, but I didn't. Perhaps because I felt there was some truth in what they were suggesting about me or my behaviour, thus my shame as a person. I don't particularly see myself as a person who focuses on gaining experience and success, but I do see myself capable of handling any number of things in a professional way. If I have a job to do, I do it well. I've had to ask myself whether this is indeed a behaviour I have to avoid those inner feelings of not being enough. I just want to do a good job and have a positive effect with people around me. I do find myself rushing to get this done and that done. This rarely leaves me with a sense of accomplishment, as there's always another thing to do once I complete something. Thus, I miss dwelling on the good feelings of having accomplished something purposeful. This feeds into the not enough theme of the dream. I just had yet another wordplay on be strong enough as I write this, and that is be strong enough. Thank you for the word play on that word. In the last day or two of the dream, this difficult situation with a co-worker was active. I would question whether it was on my part or on their part, or whether I actually deserved the negative criticism of this person. And my motto is do no harm. So I didn't respond to defend myself or assert myself and tell them that they had crossed a line in not being respectful in interacting with me. Also, something else I just realized, one difficulty I have with this person is that they don't give me enough information or clarity for me to know how the project is going. This must have fed into my issues of not being enough, not having enough. Not just from my inner world, but from my feelings, rightly or wrongly, from people in my outer world not giving me enough. Wow. What really caught my eye here was the running fast and hard, running alone under pressure. That is spot on. I felt at the time of the dream I had no backup from my board of directors. I felt that they were avoiding getting involved in this conflict, leaving me to work it out. Little did they know that I really had no idea about where to go at this point. I didn't want to gossip, yet I knew my board needed to know what had been developing. This person could never become a board member, and at this point couldn't remain in charge of a committee. I had received too much negative feedback from others about this person. I was rushing and leading and trying over and over again to communicate with this individual who just didn't know the basics of communication. My actions in waking life weren't enough to dissipate our different perspectives, and the beef between us was strong enough to affect my well-being. I had really been triggered and consciously knew it. It was all those other feelings that surfaced that really surprised and bothered me a lot. I am thinking as I write this that what I wanted was enough beef to go around to help resolve the situation. I didn't want to be the only person carrying this weight, and I felt that I was. An insight I gained from this dream came as I thought how I may not be enough in dealing with this situation, but I realized I felt I was not getting enough support from people around me. So the two situations of not enough beef were both internal and external. I was once told that I had high expectations of myself and put that on others. That's when I realized these high expectations were because I felt people weren't living up to what I thought they should be doing, exactly as I felt with this situation. About the petal segment of the dream, this is where I felt an internal shift occurring in myself as I read this. I think it's moving from the head to the heart of feeling. The shame came when I couldn't remember the names of these women and confused them. Remembering people's names is a problem for me in waking life as well. Then when one disapproved of what I said, I was left wondering what it was I said, not only in the dream, but in waking life. In regards to this interpersonal situation, I do indeed wonder what it is that I say or write or do that is taken so personally by this other person that they end up being on the defensive. Perhaps I am too much in the head and not enough in feelings for their comfort level. What bothers me about the petal women in the dream is that they don't seem to be caring towards me. They are aloof. They do have their perspective, but they don't share it with me. I don't assert myself with them to discover what words I've said that they disapprove of. Perhaps all those self-negating messages I get into when overstressed. And yet, the flower-faced women do give me something to nourish myself with. I assume that's how I got that petal to eat. But I still leave not getting comfort. I think your comments are right on, in that their version of enough is adequate and a new version to me. Something light, something spiritual perhaps, unbeknownst to me. There was a sort of calmness in this part of the dream. When you talked about the loss of my mother and asked me about feelings of being left or left over, this is the part of the interpretation that affected me the most. Yes, I'm sensitive to feeling abandoned, excluded, left out, but much more so in the past. I suppose in regards to waking life, I felt abandoned by the board. They weren't listening to me, or so I felt. It could be, too, that I wasn't particularly clear with them about the situation. Once I contacted them again and went into more details, they pulled through for me. Again, it's a two-way street. I was feeling abandoned by them, yet I was abandoning them by not fully explaining the situation, by not wanting to be too critical or engrossed in gossip about another person. You asked me how far back in my life I can remember being driven. I can't remember when I was being driven. I do remember as a child being borderline shy and always hiding my face behind my long hair. I think for the better part of my youth and young adult life, I felt less than others, and I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. And then there was a shift when you follow your intuition and ask if I've ever been left. One of the most difficult and fortunately now rare emotions for me is a feeling of exclusion. So in that sense, I experience a feeling of being left out if friends do something and don't invite me. As for being left, my two siblings and I had to be separated from home where my mum had a nervous breakdown. I was about 1.5 years old. This was for 2 years or more. We lived with various relatives during that time. Whatever language development I had at that age was lost, or so my mum told me years later. I know mother-daughter relationships are complicated, but when you have mental illness in the family, things aren't ever easy. Another pattern in my life had been the feeling of not belonging. My favourite story has always been the ugly duckling, and once I realised that we blossom when we find our tribe, I realised why that story held such a special place in my heart. Another play on the blossom or petals, for the petals were open as if a blossom on the women's faces. I appreciate the comments about building complicated mental constructions. I can complicate things more than they need to be. I have to think more about this aspect, how hard I am running to be enough and accepted. You asked me if I felt I've been railroaded. In this particular situation, I do feel railroaded. I don't feel I have a full knowledge of what this person is doing or why. So things have come out of the blue and in a sense have railroaded progress of attaining a goal or means to achieve a goal. You also asked me about, there's also a possibility here of being asked to cross a bridge. And when you asked me about that, I love the puns about the bridge. The conflict does remain. It is in suspense and there's still a bit of anxiety surrounding it as the situation has yet to be addressed. But it is on the calendar to do so. As much as I don't want to lose face, I don't want this other person to lose face, despite her occasional and outrageous behaviour. The idea to meet someone halfway is apropos as well. I also look at the man coming up behind me as having enough to deal with the situation. He doesn't seem to be overexerting himself. He's wearing the proper clothes. He's right for the moment. He has no fear about crossing the bridge and seems to know exactly where he's going. That's the part of myself I want most to be. Thanks again, Jane Teresa. So all that's left is for me to read out the dream alchemy that I gave Emily and her response to that. Now, I did give the dream alchemy at the time I wrote the interpretation, and I'm still really happy with it, and she's happy with it. But I guess reading her feeling at the end of the dream there that about the man behind her, and that's the part of myself I most want to be, I might have worked a dream alchemy involving him. However, this is the dream alchemy I did. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with dream alchemy, the purpose of dream alchemy is to take some symbols or feelings from the dream and rework them. So what we're doing is talking to your unconscious mind using its same language, which is the symbols that it brought up in the dreams, to reprogram your unconscious mind or to rewire your brain so that the limiting beliefs that haven't been working for you are reprogrammed so that you have good beliefs that are working for you, or this general healing or integration. You'll get the feeling as I explain Emily's dream alchemy. Now, dream alchemy is sometimes a visualization, sometimes it's an affirmation, sometimes an artwork. It can be anything. And I've been a bit creative with Emily's. Dream alchemy for Emily. create a recipe using a small amount of beef, some yellow or orange petals, maybe nasturtiums or rose petals, and lots of yellow or orange vegetables. Visualize cooking the recipe in a magical pot that multiplies the amount of food to suit the number of people who need to eat. Take the lid off the pot and announce that people can help themselves, then serve yourself a plateful and sit down and enjoy. It's more than enough to satisfy, and it's just the right balance of ingredients for what you need, strength and softness. Or cook a dish like this for yourself, doing your research on edible petals first. And Emily responded to that dream alchemy. This dream alchemy made me smile. It feels good on many levels. Perhaps I do need more iron and beef in my diet. And I know there are some edible flowers, and so it will do me good to try cooking something new and with something organic. So I will consciously do this in waking life and do the visualization as well. I like the idea of combining the beef and the petals into a new mixture, a new nourishing food. Thank you so much. So, gosh, you can make a lot of meat out of a dream, can't you? Do the interpretation. And that's how deeply you can take it when you really, when the dreamer gets equally involved in answering the questions and really contemplating the dream. And I know if we continue this conversation, which we're not going to do, that Emily, might get back in touch with me about what happened in her life as a result of the dream alchemy. And I will be very interested to hear that. But of course, this is the end of today's podcast recording, so you won't get to know about that. Hopefully you really enjoyed that. I'm aware that it's been quite a long podcast, so I'm going to wrap it straight away and say that the next episode of The Dream Show, episode 182, is due out on the 16th of September 2016. And remember that you can listen to all episodes at janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, as well as to go to that website or find me on Facebook to find out how you can buy my books, ebooks, book consultations with me, have an email consultation yourself, or how to be a guest on The Dream Show, which you'll find if you go to the menu and go to podcasts, and on the drop-down box there, there's Be a Guest on the Show. Have a wonderful month. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show, and I'll speak to you next month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.